I thought I had a few more minutes. Good to be back with this congregation once again. Many of you, I don't know, because over the 16 years since Bob has been here, there are some new faces, and it's good to see everybody. Good to see the Fullers. There are some faces that I miss that I wish were here, and I know that y'all miss them too. And we hope that one day they would be able to come back and worship with you again. Much has changed in my life over the last 16 years. I've added, or I haven't added, but my family has added a few more grandchildren. And my son decided that he was going to move off to Arizona, married a wonderful lady from Arizona, but instead of bringing her east, she took him west. So that kind of spread our family from North Carolina to Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought, wow, I'll never see him again. That's just the other side of the world. But it has opened up a new door and new opportunities for me. We actually get to go out two or three times a year and visit with them. And I'd never been to Arizona until he moved out there. And it is a wonderful state. I actually overcame one of my greatest fears, and that's the fear of height, by getting to hike the Grand Canyon. And I did that. I guess when you get to be my age and you start thinking about, well, what are some opportunities that you'd like to do and to accomplish in life? And I said, well, there's one of those things, not just because I wanted to conquer fear of height, but because it's one of those beautiful things that you, when you're there, you just are so amazed by the beauty and by the closeness that you can feel to God. And yet every time you walk around and you talk to one of the rangers there in the park, all they're doing is pointing out that this thing evolved over billions of years, and there's nothing to mention about God. And yet you can't get away from God when you're there because of the beauty of all of it. I actually was sitting up on the North Rim one of the days that we were there, and a couple of the others that I was with had gone on a second hike, so I decided that I was just going to go out and meditate and admire the scenery that day. Walking up a little bit, maybe about 50 feet from me, was a young woman. And as I looked over there, she was walking really out close to the edge, off of the sidewalk. And I, you know, I'm not sure I would have gone out there. But I decided, well, I'm going to just ask her a question. I said, would you like me to take your picture? And she looked over and saw me. She said, yeah, that would be nice. So I got her camera. She gave me the camera. I took her picture, and we got to talking. And as we were talking, her boyfriend walked up. But I asked her a question. I said, which side are you on? Now, she's in her 20s. And, you know, I'm sure she's thinking, what's he trying to get at? I'm on the south side. The north rim is over there. And I said, no, what I'm asking is this. Are you a creationist or an evolutionist? And she thought for a second, and she said, evolution. And I said, well, I'm a creationist. I believe that God created this. And she, you know, thought about that a little bit, and then she said, no, I just can't believe God created this. I got to talking to her a little bit more. She was running away not literally running away because she was going back home, but she was avoiding the subject of religion. As she said, her parents had crammed it down her throat, and she got tired of all the way that they were approaching it with her. So I said, well, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to invite you to church. I'm not going to say you have to go to church. But I'm going to offer you a text message every day. All you have to do is trust me with your phone number. And she actually only trusted me with her first name. I still don't know her last name. But she gave me the phone number, and I started sending her these text messages. 3 or 4 months went by. I didn't hear from her. And then one day, I got a text from her. And she says, I really am enjoying your text. I really appreciate them. They're making me think. And I said, hallelujah. That's all I wanted to do. She lives in Chicago. I live in Atlanta. We meet on the north rim of the Grand, or south rim of the Grand Canyon. We are now communicating and talking about faith. You never know from one day to another who you talk to that you're going to be able to influence. I said, well, there's a possibility I'm going to be moving to Arizona down the road. She says, I'm working 2 jobs so I can move west. I don't know if I'll ever meet her again, but I do believe that God uses us and puts us in places where we can be the right example and teach others who are looking. Now, who would have thought that she was looking? She didn't even realize that she was looking. But when given something that wasn't being forced down her throat to, you know, you've got to do this, she was able to sit back and think about it and really understand where she needed to go. Okay? I don't know. Pray for her. Eleanor is her first name. But that kind of is what I've been doing for the last 16 years since leaving here. Macon has been my only full-time work. I was here twice. I came here after Ron Roark left. Then I came back. No, I'm sorry. Was it before Ron? I can't remember. Anyway, but I did come back. And over a period of about 4.5 years, I worked with this congregation. And if you call commuting from Atlanta full time, I guess I was full time. But I was concentrating on the work here. But since leaving, my work has involved evangelism. And potentially, I may be headed toward another full time work in Prescott, Arizona. I've been asked to come out there and work with a congregation there. But it will again be in an effort to do evangelism in the northern part of the state of Arizona. But I believe that as we live our lives, as we are around others, that as we talk to others, whether it be people we come in contact with at the grocery store or the bank or every day that we meet, we've got to plant something in their mind. Give them some food for thought, and perhaps even an opportunity that we can touch base again. I found that the text message is the best way of doing that for me. I was talking with a young lady at Publix just last Wednesday night. I'm bold. You know, I do things that a lot of people wouldn't do. I'm 63. She's in her either late teens or early 20s. And I'm sure, again, she's thinking, what is this man after? But when you say, okay, I'm interested in you as an individual, as a person who in your life, are you trying to do what God wants you to do? So here's a simple question I ask. Do you go to church? She said, no. She said, my family does. I don't have time. She's going to school, working a job. I don't have time. I said, where does your family go? Well, they go down here to the Catholic Church. I said, okay, why don't you go? And she said, well, because I'm so busy. Well, okay. That could have ended the conversation right there, and I probably would not have an opportunity to talk to her again. But I said, do you trust me? Would you give me your phone number? And I would be glad to send you this Bible message that you can read and think about. Nobody's pushing it on you. Nobody. You can stop it anytime you want to. You can call me or text me and say, that's it, I don't want it. But would you be willing to at least look at it? And she said, yes. All right. And she actually gave me her full name. Okay. You've got to be able to reach out to people and touch something in their life. And I've had people say, no, I'm not interested, I don't want it, leave me alone. And that's fine. But today, there are 250 plus that I send this out to. Some of them are Christians already, but many of them are not. And I've gone 3 years without hearing from some of them. Don't even know their name. All I know is a phone number, and I send it to them. The other night, we have a Thursday night study in Chick-fil-A. This has been about a month ago. I get a text from this individual, you know, say something about the message I sent out that day. And we got to texting back and forth. And she gave me her name. She'd been on the text. I didn't know male, female, anything about this person. She's also a school teacher, which has been what I've done in the past too. So we had something in common, but we got to talking about religion. And I told her that we have this Bible study on Thursday night. So she came, and she's been coming since then, and she's come to worship with us a couple of times. She drove by our building and saw the phone number advertised and requested it. When we are able to give people something to think about, not high and mighty, not I'm right, not, you know, you've got to do this, but give them an opportunity at their leisure, at their time, to think about the Word of God, we end up with more opportunities, I believe, than ever we could imagine. Jeff May and Steve Klein have just published a book on heaven. Excellent book. Wonderful material that we're using in our Bible study now. The first chapter goes back and talks about the Chilean mining cave-in, which happened several years ago. And here you have these miners that are trapped, I think it's over 2,000 feet deep in the earth. They're down there for several months. The people up above are at least able to get them some air and perhaps some food so they can survive. But the picture that these two men paint, when that first miner is brought up in a shaft that is not much bigger than our bodies. They're able to bring them up in that tight chest. And the son of one of those individuals, the first one up, is on the world news. And you see his face when his father comes up out of that hole. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not what we long for? Is that not the picture of what we will be like when we get to heaven? Is that not the goal of all of us, to be with God in heaven? And when we see Jesus on that day, multiply it by 100 times that boy's face when he saw his father. How excited we're going to be when we come face to face and see Jesus. He thought his father was lost. He had given us hope. And finally, they were able to drill that shaft down, and he had hope again. That's the story of us as individuals. We had lost hope of ever being saved. We had sinned. We had turned away from God. We were lost. We were in that mountain and couldn't get out by ourselves. And Jesus comes along and gives us hope again. And we're traveling up through that shaft. Talk about the straight and narrow. That's what it was. And you talk about me. I'm claustrophobic too. I fear of heights. I'm claustrophobic. We won't get into all the other phobias that I have. But we're going up through that shaft. And at the top is Jesus. And can you imagine what it's going to be like? Another picture that they paint in this book is the Olympic team, hockey team, 1980s. Russia ruled the world in hockey at that time. Many of you recall that. Here is a bunch of college kids, and their coach brings them together. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids going up against a pro hockey team from Russia. Experienced. Well-oiled. They've got the talent. And who can believe that this bunch of college kids can come together and beat that Russian team? But the story is that the coach was the motivator. The coach was the trainer. The coach brought them together, made them believe that they could accomplish the impossible. And isn't that the way life as Christians is? We're faced in a world that is full of wickedness, atheism, immorality, and we struggle and we struggle and we feel the pull of Satan. And who can overcome all the influences that face us? It's impossible. We cannot live righteously in this world. And yet, we can. Because we have a coach. We have one who is there to lead us and to mold us and to make us what we need to be in our life. So we can see Jesus one day. But it's because as we travel along that journey, he brings us together and molds us and makes us what we need to be. Heaven is oh so wonderful. But when we think about it, if we do, a lot of times we get so busy in our lives that it just seems like you know, it's in the future, it's something that's going to come at the end of my life, but do we really, really, really think about it? Do we talk about it with our family and our children and let them know that that's the most important thing to me, is to be in heaven with Jesus? Turn with me to Philippians, the first chapter. And listen to the Apostle Paul. In verse 21 of Philippians, the first chapter, Paul says, To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. I think of Paul here. Paul the aged, Paul the mature man, Paul having spent many years suffering for Christ, going out and teaching the gospel. The Philippians, he was very close to them. You think of Lydia. I don't know if Lydia is still a member of the church there or not. You think of the jailer. You think of others that were brought to Christ in this city, a Roman colony. Not much there when Paul went in, not if anything. And he's grown very fond and very close to this church. And he says, I want to go home and be with God. I've got my eye on heaven. I've got my goal set on heaven. And I think about that, and that's where I want to be. But he said, if the Lord desires me to stay here with you, I am desirous of doing that also. I want to do what's going to be best. If I can be of benefit, if I can help the church here, if I can encourage it and bring more people through the influence that I have to Christ, that's what I want. But he says, ultimately, heaven is where I want to be. And I think what happens is we get lost, tied up in everyday affairs. And we think about our family, we think about our jobs, we think about our homes, we think about all of these things. And I'm not saying those aren't important things, but they're not the important thing. Where is our goal? Where are we headed down the path of life? Paul said, heaven is my goal. That's where I want to be. Each day, when we wake up and start the day and thank the Lord for another day, ask the Lord and pray to the Lord that that journey that I'm making can be successful and that He will help us get there. Paul was ready to die. Paul was ready to go. How many of us want to hang on and just drag it out and stay here as long as we can? John said, Lord, come quickly. Is that our prayer? Is that our goal? Lord, come quickly. Well, perhaps maybe we might say that if He takes all of us. But how about come quickly for me? How about come quickly? You know, I don't know when the Lord's coming. Nobody does. That will be the Lord's decision. And the timing will be right. But we certainly can look forward to that time that we can be with Him. But while we're here, What are we doing? I believe that we need to go back, going back to the beginning of what I said, the remarks that I said today. Are we trying to influence and take others with us? Now, I know when you've got a family and little children, you've got to spend a lot of time. And they're your most important goal. You've got to raise them. You've got to teach them. You've got to influence them to grow up into adulthood so that they are following the path to heaven. But how often do we just not even think about others? Let's get out and encourage others to think about God. The door-to-door salesman. We don't have much of that anymore. But used to, when I was young, growing up, there were people that would go out and knock on doors and want to sell you a vacuum cleaner or want to sell you a set of encyclopedias and things like this. And, you know, what they would say is, or what they were taught, their mentality is, you're going to knock on 100 doors and get 99 no's. But one of those is going to say, you know, my vacuum cleaner just broke the other day and I do need another one. Or my children are struggling and they need some extra help with these encyclopedias. We're going to get 99 no's when we talk to other people. I used to think we could convert the world. That isn't going to happen. But we're going to find people. There are good people. There are honest people. There are sincere people that want to do right. And that 100th individual that we finally ask is going to say, yes, you know, I'm struggling. I failed. I need the Lord. I need help. And there's our opportunity to teach somebody. I believe that if we will do that, we will catch the world on fire. I'm a mathematician who doesn't know that much math. I pretend to be. But I do teach math. And I know this, that there is an exponential growth. Linear growth is not good. Linear growth is just a straight line. And that's why I shouldn't say it's not good. It is beneficial. But exponential growth is where we go out and we teach an individual who goes out and teaches another individual, and then we're over here working, teaching somebody else. And all of these together abound in multiple growth. Do we believe that can happen? Do we have faith that God will put us in situations where we can teach others? Does God work today like He did in New Testament times? God put Paul in Philippi, where Lydia was. Paul wanted to go down to Asia. If he'd gone where he wanted to go, Lydia wasn't home. He would have knocked on her door and she wouldn't have been there because she had gone to Philippi. Paul put Philip on the road there when he stopped and talked to the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul puts us, or God puts us, in places where we can be useful. Now, I'm not saying every time we make a move or every time we go somewhere that God is directing us there. That's not the point. But God is going to give us opportunities if we will see them and use them, and it's to His glory. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do we believe that? When we go out and plant the seed and we water it and we tend to it, the seed of the gospel, that God is going to give the increase. Do you have faith that God is with you? That God can use you? And I don't care if you are disabled and you're bedbound and you're stuck inside and you can't get out and meet people, God can still use you and bring glory to His name. But we've got to realize that our trust and our faith has to be in God for that to happen. Are you like the miners who long to see that sky again? They've been in that mountain for several months. Are you like the hockey team that believes we can do it? Our coach has trained us and given us that desire and that hope that we can overcome all the odds and beat this Russian team. They actually, that wasn't the final game. They had to win another game, one or two more games. But they overcame that obstacle and went on and beat another team or two for the gold medal that year. We can do it. We can be successful. We can be, as Paul said, at the point where we're ready to go to heaven. Lord, use me if you can. Help me to bring others with me. But Lord, I want to go to heaven. That is my goal. And I hope it's all of our goals. That everything that we do is going to be directed toward that day. The song has been announced that will help us focus upon our need, whether it be just simply to strengthen our resolve to keep going, to stay on the straight and narrow way. Or perhaps there's somebody here this morning that is in need of dedicating their life to God and turning their life over to Him through obedience. In whatever way that might be, won't you come? As we stand.